Hello and welcome to the Open Cloud Infrastructure Podcast. I'm your host, Sascha Siegmann, and today is Friday, January 31st, 2025, and this is episode 19 with these topics. Security issue in Windows Kubernetes nodes. Rancher launches Raccoon, a Kubernetes controller for OpenStack. Yellow Brick takes a page out of 37signal's cloud repatriation manual and a podcast recommendation. Security issue in Windows Kubernetes nodes. This one is important, so let's get it out of the way right away. There's a security issue with Kubernetes versions that are allowing takeover of all Windows nodes in a cluster. That is not good. First of all, who runs Kubernetes on Windows nodes? Turns out people do. You can find out more details in CVE 2024-9042. This one reminded me a bit of the Log4j vulnerability, and here's how they are similar. It's sufficient to simply post a GET query to the API proxy server targeting a Windows host, and is shockingly simple to open up a CMD window or do any other thing like running PowerShell to install your favorite exploit chain. There's a simple way, however, of checking for vulnerable load nodes. Simply issue kubectl get nodes minus o white minus minus show labels and grep for os equals windows. Of course, if you know that you don't have Windows machines or nodes, then that's not an issue. But if the output shows any nodes running Windows with a version lower than 1.32.1 with the log query beta feature enabled, then you have an issue. The log query beta feature was introduced in 1.27 and is a feature that allows viewing logs of services running on the node remotely, which is actually a handy thing. In the show notes is an example of a payload that spawns a CMD shell on Windows from a system that can reach the endpoint. What can you do? One, you can disable log query. If it's not essential, disable the log query feature entirely. Good security practice always, minimize attack surface. You, two, can restrict access. Use a role-based access control to limit access to sensitive APIs like slash logs. You can monitor logs, of course. You have to audit your cluster logs for suspicious queries targeting slash logs endpoints with unexpected inputs. And, of course, lastly, impact. Update the impacted versions. The affected versions are 132.0, 31.0 to 31.4, 30.0 to 30.8, and anything under 1.29.12. You can find more information in all the relevant links in the show notes. And kudos to Akamai security researcher Tomer Pellet, who found and reported this issue. Mirantis launches Raccoon. You probably knew that a raccoon is a rocket attached to a balloon, right? Well, I didn't. According to Wikipedia, a raccoon is, quote, a sounding rocket that, other than being lit immediately while still on the ground, is first carried into the upper atmosphere by a gas-filled balloon, then separated from the balloon and ignited. This allows the rocket to achieve a higher altitude as the rocket does not have to move under power through the lower and thicker layers of the atmosphere, end quote. Now, there's got to be an analogy here that we can latch onto, so let's see. Maybe it was the stratospheric rise in VMware pricing from Broadcom that inspired the name, but whatever it is in the end that gave the product the name, the fact remains that thousands of customers worldwide, probably well in the 100,000, are looking at their VMware renewal in disbelief. 3x and 4x are what I regularly hear, and it all makes sense given Broadcom paid $61 billion for VMware in 2023. There's only one way there's going to be a return on investment, and that's a massive price hike on the customer base. Some don't like that very much, and it seems almost any VMware customer is looking to migrate to another solution. So if you are in the sweet spot of requirements that are not tightly woven into a complex VMware installation with combined use of vSphere, vSAN, NSX, Tanzu products, you are probably looking at solutions like OpenStack or simply running VMs on Linux under KVM, maybe even Kubernetes with Kubevert. Well, now one such contender is the mentioned Raccoon. Raccoon is, quote, a Kubernetes controller that provides lifecycle management for OpenStack services and automates deployment and management of OpenStack to provide self-managing, self-scaling, and self-healing services. Oh, fantastic. The controller subscribes to changes to OpenStack deployment Kubernetes custom resource and then reacts to these changes by creating, updating, or deleting appropriate resources in Kubernetes. End quote. Basically, this is a Kubernetes-like way to describe how you want your OpenStack deployment to look like using a Kubernetes infrastructure. OpenStack runs off-the-mill virtualization workloads just fine, pretty much like any other commodity hypervisor. Personally, I still find OpenStack to be quite the handful, similar to Kubernetes in operations complexity. So if this makes it easier for you to migrate your VMs over to OpenStack, check it out and let me know your thoughts. I'll be reporting back from my experiments in the next show. Yellow Brick saves tons of money with cloud repatriation. Here's another company saving money by moving off the hyperscalers. Yellow Brick is a Postgres lookalike database in the cloud and was previously hosted on three cloud providers, costing around $6 million a year. How they were able to cut cost in half by moving to a Kubernetes-based on-premises solution is described in an informative blog post by their CEO. Born out of the realization that cloud elasticity for compute is much more complex and expensive than they assumed, and finding themselves with hundreds of decommissioned servers after an upgrade cycle, CEO Carson set out to create EC3, or Emerald City, as it was called. A nice dig on EC2, I might note. One of the reasons why this was a successful migration of hyperscalers' clouds, in my opinion, is definitely the fact that Yellow Brick had hardware experience, as they were selling physical appliances and an understanding of the realities of hyperconverged compute infrastructure. Those are complex and nothing that can be picked up like that. Large-scale operations are always difficult, and loading Kubernetes on top is actually an easier task than running the whole stack. In addition to the compute platform, network and storage needs to be solved, but on a hyperscaler level as well. There are many open source tools available, and Amazon and others are notorious for being open source leeches by using and monetizing software, but not contributing in return. The open source tools used in addition here are MinIO for S3 compatible object storage and Linstore, specifically the Piraeus operator plus Linstore plus DRBD. Piraeus is the name of the Linbit developed upstream open source data store project, which can provide persistent software defined storage for Kubernetes deployments. Unlike others, Yellow Brick is big on giving back to the open source community and worked closely together with Linbit, which is located, by the way, just here in my native Portland, and submitted patches relevant to the DRBD RDMA transport protocol for all DRBD users. If you want to learn more about a high-end Kubernetes bare metal installation using InfiniBand and BGP routing, head over to the article linked in the show notes. A podcast recommendation. Here is my recommendation for this episode, and it's somewhat tied with the previous topic, the Google SRE podcast. It is Google's podcast about site reliability engineering and production software. What I like most about it is that they bring the receipts, SREs that have done the things that are complex and require explanation. Check out episode 13 from December, where the podcast discusses the differences between imperative and declarative configuration, explores the benefits and challenges of each approach, and the need for careful consideration when choosing between the two. Ultimately, the goal is to achieve reliable and maintainable systems through effective configuration management. Well said. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening. I appreciate your time, and check back in 2 weeks for another episode of Open Cloud Infrastructure. If you like this show, recommend it to a friend. Follow me on Mastodon as ssiekman at infosec.exchange. That's ssiekman@infosec.exchange. You can also email me at sascha@siekman.com. That is sascha@siekman.com. The music in this program is licensed from Audio Jungle. Head over to my YouTube channel where you can check out the installation videos and how I set up my lab. Hop on over to YouTube and find me as Open Cloud Infrastructure. See you soon.